Broadcasting from KUCR Studios in UC Riverside, this is the Highlander Newsroom. I'm your host, Crystal Mims, joined today by...
Joseph Avila, Assistant News Editor.
Aaron Gretsch, News Editor.
Vincent Ta, Photo Editor.
Cody Nguyen, soon to be former Managing Editor.
Welcome to the newsroom, the people behind the paper. All right, so today we're going to be talking about Spring Splash and all the shenanigans that took place there, as well as cigarettes and the fact that the smoking age in California will be now 21. And we're going to be talking about Chancellor Kim Wilcox and his physical master plan that he talked about at his town hall meeting on May 3rd. And we're also going to be talking about graduation and the seniors. Actually, there's all seniors on the show today except for me.
Woo!
So, yeah,
get out of here,
we're going to be talking about that. So we will start with Spring Splash. Did everyone go to Spring Splash?
Yes.
Yes. Yep.
Yes. All right. So did you guys like it? Did you enjoy it? Have fun?
I guess everyone's expecting me to just say like the mandatory thing I've been saying all week, which is R.L. Grime is a god. So
I don't think
I said it, and that's the last time I'm going to say it on the show.
I think I've seen him 8 times so far, including Spring Splash, and it's a religious experience. I recommend seeing him at least once. I think Vincent can piggyback off this a little bit more too.
I've seen him 3 times now, but I gotta say his Spring Splash performance was not the best. I think he was really catering to the mainstream. So lots of top songs and stuff you hear on the radio. So
not hipster.
A lot of his really. really authentic stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. It was Crystal and my time first seeing
him. Yeah, it was my first time seeing him, and I really liked it. That and Vince Staples' performance were probably my favorites.
I think that they should have switched the main stage and the hub stage, in terms of
performances.
In terms of performances, just because of how many more people were at the hub versus at the main stage.
True.
But I guess the big stage in the lawn over there was more conducive to having bands and stuff because of all the space that's actually on the stage. Definitely not proportional to the crowd size that was represented over there.
I think they should definitely move the direction of the stage, because I remember our freshman year for Spring Splash, they had it in between Rivera, Life Sciences, and Pierce, in that lawn. Uh-huh. I think having a stage there would be a lot better, because for one, when you're a little bit too crazy, you don't want to walk all the way back there for all the food trucks. So it's better to have the food trucks closer to the gates and the entrance. And then for another thing, and if you have the performers back there, I think there's just a lot more room in that area, in that packed lawn.
Yeah,
I don't know why they necessarily moved it.
Yeah, so you would have to go through everything else and then get to the performers, so then you can kind of see what's up.
Yeah.
Because on both ends, the Rivera lawn and then the in-between Watkins and Rivera lawn too, it was all the extra stuff, and it was kind of it wasn't as crowded as I thought it would be.
Same.
Yeah. And so that way you'd also, you can have people, know what's available at Spring Splash instead of just the musicians. And it's better just for people to access. And I think it'll give, those food trucks a lot more business, for one. The smaller amp radio stages, more business. I kind of like the hub setup, though.
It was a good event, and the acts were, they were good, too. I think just a sobering fact, though, or sobering image of a festival is when you see people carried out on stretchers and stuff like that, and you see people overdosing, and you see people going way too hard. And I think this year, definitely in these last 2 years, I felt we're going a lot harder than I remember us going at these festival type things. So just a reminder to people to not go too hard and to know your limits and stuff like that. Stay safe. Yeah. Because we can't this is college and you should definitely experience as much as you can, but you should also learn your limits as well and not go too hard, because you can't do this all we can't every year have a festival where we just completely blackout or whatever. It's not good for your health, your mental health, and your physical health.
And who knows, maybe one year it gets so bad that something really bad happens, God forbid, and then they cancel the event permanently, because I know that's happened before in the past.
Happened. Yeah, mm-hmm. UC San Diego's festival, someone died.
UC San Diego doesn't have a cool lineup anymore because of that.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, there's also someone who lost their life, which is probably more important than having a cool lineup, but yeah.
I would definitely say so, yes.
Yeah.
So, Cody, you got to interview Anna Leno, right? Yes?
Yeah.
How was that?
She was a really sweet person. I mean, it was a good interview. We talked for maybe 20-25 minutes, talked a lot about her career, her music, and a lot of funny random questions about like things in Australia too. But definitely check it out on Highlander TV if you're a big fan of Anna Luneau or even electronic music in general, because she's very smart, shared a lot of great insight, and yeah, it was a great interview. Check it out.
Cool. So in general, like, I know you guys mentioned like the stages, like maybe they could be moved or like other things like that. Were there any other things that you guys saw that maybe could have been done better? I know they had like a sobering area apparently, like
a lot of tea.
Yeah, which I guess that was good. They had water stations. Mm-hmm. Thought that was pretty effective. Mm-hmm. Anything else maybe they could have done?
I think stages, yeah, definitely continue having the water stations because they're necessary, especially during Spring Splash. Mm-hmm. Even though this one was kind of cloudy, you can't always count on that.
I noticed there wasn't much around the bell tower. It was like you get your vouchers for other things, and the bell tower is kind of like this weird place where nothing really happened.
In between.
So, yeah.
Maybe put tables there. That'd be an interesting place to put them. Especially since they'd be so close. I mean, they'd be crowded, but at least they'd be closer to the stages. Yeah. So you don't have to go all the way off into like Narnia in order to sit down.
Sure. ASB's 30th anniversary had some really cool benches out.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
Shout out to ASPB, though, this year. They put on some great events.
They did.
Great way to put the cherry on top with Spring Splash. That was awesome.
Yeah, especially because they had to work with like the extra money to get the artists at the last minute. And I think overall, I think that they did a good job. Yeah. Despite even if they got the worst performers ever, I feel like people would still go out, people would still go hard, people would still love the music, people would still have a great time, even if they didn't get... Because, you know, there's a lot of people who complain all the time whenever the lineup's released, like, oh, like, you know, this wasn't the best or whatever.
Yeah,
it's like, it doesn't. You're going to go anyways, and you're going to have a good time anyways.
I remember once, like, well, with the heat that was canceled, someone was complaining that they didn't know who anyone was during the Childish Gambino lineup, and I was like, you literally need to stop listening to your middle school playlist.
Yeah. If you know
I mean, Sierra was on my middle school playlist.
Same. I mean, when are people going to realize that, I think, UCR has the best concert lineups, like not even across the UC system, but like anywhere, like from like Dallas, Texas, West. Like I haven't seen anything better. So.
Whoa.
Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah. I agree. I think people should just not like just enjoy what's given to you. Don't beggars can't be choosers. So just be happy with what you get.
They're free. We don't have to pay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, partially. We pay some fees.
It was really fun, like, overall, though. I thought, okay, am I crazy or, like, was there no Ferris wheel?
No, there wasn't.
There wasn't. Okay.
I talked to someone from ASPB, and they said that they couldn't get any attractions this year for Spring Splash because of Cinco de Mayo being on the same weekend. Yeah, like a bunch of other places had those attractions booked, which is why there was like a lack of like attractions this year. But I think they more than made up for it with the lineup.
No, yeah, it was really fun. Really fun. All right, guys, we're going to switch gears now, and we're going to be talking about cigarettes. So Governor Jerry Brown recently signed bills that will raise the smoking age in California from 18 to 21 and restrict the use of electronic cigarettes. Because these bills are raising the smoking age and they were approved during a special session on health care, they're going to become effective pretty soon, June 9th. So what do you guys think about this? Do you think this is a good idea or do you think the smoking age should have remained 18?
Well, congrats on killing every single hookah bar business in existence now, because that was the only thing that 18-year-olds were allowed to do until they turned 21. But now, since they're allowed to go to bars...
Is it all tobacco products now? Oh, yeah, it is.
Jeez. So, have fun, people that own hookah bars.
I mean, I don't think it'll completely, like, kill...
It's going to kill it.
It'll definitely hurt the ones around colleges, though.
Yeah. Because we're 18-year-olds go to. I think the 21-year-old alcohol ban, for example, for one thing, is... I don't agree with it. But
and some food for thought. We're letting 18-year-olds sign up to go to the military and possibly die for their country, but we're not letting them drink, and we're not letting them have the freedom to choose whether they want to smoke or drink or do any of that. So,
great
makes
point.
You think.
It's a great
and you
point,
can also
Cody.
Spend life in prison now, too. Instead of doing that, but
I think that regulating e-cigarettes is partially a good thing, because how many times have you heard those things blowing up in people's faces? I don't know that making them in people who are giving them, like, to people who are older, at least, like, restricting younger people getting them is going to lessen that chance. But if I was 18 and I, like, took a puff of an e-cigarette and it blew up in my face, that would suck. I mean, well, that wouldn't be a good time for anybody, but, you know.
I think those are usually, like, the cheaper e-cigarettes, though, imported from countries. There are really shady sites out there. Kids are going to get a hold of e-cigarettes one way or another.
True.
And, I mean, people get a hold of drugs through the internet. Yeah. So trying to get a hold of an e-cigarette is not going to be that much more difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get them pretty easily online.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You can get weapons online. Yeah.
So what do you guys think about just e-cigarettes and vaping in general? Because I know a lot of people say that, like, it's helpful for people trying to quit, like, regular cigarettes and, like, but there have been reports of them being, like, poisonous, more poisonous, and, like, all of this other stuff. And I know that the vaping culture has kind of been on the rise.
I actually had, like, nicotine poisoning from vaping a little bit too much.
Oh, okay. So, what do you guys think about vaping and all of that?
I don't think the act of vaping is necessarily bad. Like, I think it's helped a couple of people I know, like, kind of tone down their cigarette use, so it's good in that way. But I think that, like, this culture that's formed around it is kind of starting to get really annoying.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
For real.
There's a certain stereotype that is associated with owning a vape.
Yeah.
And you usually also own a snapback and a hoverboard if you want to vape.
We can't say it on air, unfortunately.
But it ends with B-O-Y.
Yeah. So you think more than anything it's like the culture surrounding and not really the like e-cigarette itself.
Yeah, I never got the appeal though. Like, I understand like how it can probably lessen smoking, like tobacco smoking, but even like for someone who didn't smoke tobacco before and then buys a vape, like, I don't really understand the appeal. It's just vapor. Like, it's just flavored vape. Like, what is the appeal of that? Yeah, and also I don't really have an opinion one way or another because I am, like, I get nauseous when I smoke cigarettes. If anyone was there the last time that I was nauseous, it was because of an e-cigarette. Oh, I mean, not an e-cigarette, a regular cigarette, and that was definitely, like, or at least it was a catalyst from it. So I've always been, like, I used to smoke cigarettes before, but then I stopped, and then when I started again, I literally, every time I take a hit, I throw up.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah. I'm not really, it's cool that they're at least tightening an industry that makes a lot of money, but I think, at least in this country, from what I see, like, having a ban on the 18-year-old, raising the age to 21 isn't really effective. I mean, here, anti-smoking ads spend a lot more money on the industry than you know, tobacco ads do. I mean, here, tobacco advertisements are basically banned anywhere in mainstream media because it's so vilified. So I think, you know, raising the age doesn't necessarily do anything. And to be honest, where most tobacco companies now get their money from aren't from people in the U.S. It's actually from people in third world countries. Mm-hmm. So if you really want to focus your policy on preventing these industries from gaining a lot of strength, you have to look at, okay, how are they advertising in Mexico? It's places like Thailand, for example. It's places, you know, third world countries that have high smoker rates. Like, there was a 2-year-old chain smoker in some documentary I saw that would, like, smoke.
Two?
A ridiculous.
Yeah, 2-year-old chain smoker in Thailand. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's great.
Yeah.
So it's, you don't necessarily have to worry about people here, because people here, I'm pretty sure, are aware of the dangers. People here are aware of how the industry works. It's people in other countries where big tobacco really does have a hold, where it's getting most of its power.
Yeah, people definitely smoke a lot less here than in, like, other countries.
Yeah.
Especially the ones that I've been to. Like, you can walk down the street and constantly smell, like, a perpetual, like, plume of smoke just above you.
It's crazy to think of, like, the way that cigarettes have been, like, situated in media. Like, there used to be commercials of it where doctors would endorse that a cigarette would help cure, you know, different ailments that you had. And then come, like, you know, 10, 20 years later, they figure out that it actually causes cancer. And then when we were growing up, I know in the early 2000s, there was the Truth. I think it was the Truth or something like that, was, like, this big anti-tobacco campaign where they would have, it was, like, usually orange, and it would have, like, these really provocative images that would make, like, I remember there was one of, like, there was all there was like an ice sculptures of women set up in somewhere in New York, and they had babies inside them, and then slowly but surely like they would melt and the babies would just like fall on the floor. And that was like an anti-tobacco like campaign to show that like smoking like hurts like women and pregnant mothers and their kids. Nowadays the truth movement or whatever about the anti-tobacco organization, they are really harping on that we could be the last generation, like we could be the generation that ends smoking. Like they went from, because we've made so much progress since then.
I don't completely understand it, like moving the smoking age up, but I mean obviously it can't really do any harm, but like I don't know, I feel like people should be able to make their own choices, and at this point they should know what's up regarding cigarettes, at least, you know, here. If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Highlander Newsroom, broadcasting on KUCR 88.3 FM, streaming online at KUCR.org, on the KUCR app from the App Store, or the TuneIn app on Android. All right, so now we're going to be talking about UCR and the chancellor who discussed his physical master plan for the school's expansion on May 3rd at a town hall meeting. And so this plan basically kind of talks about what he'd like to see happen to the campus. He has plans for an entertainment center where concerts can be held, a new basketball court installed there. He wants to tear down the where family housing is and kind of build like new housing and a parking structure and all that kind of thing.
Where the KUCR building's on family housing.
So he's planning a lot of things, and there have been some concerns about them, especially like, you know, family housing and things of that nature. So what are your thoughts on the proposed changes? Do you have any specific concerns with it?
Yeah, how much money is going to be given to relocate the KUCR building, or, you know, create it as it once was? Or, you know, what is the plan for this trailer, basically? Because that's the biggest thing. I mean, I looked over the article that was written about the campus expansion plan, and I think one of the things that, and we're writing an article on this week, it was, what is KUCR's role on the campus, and what will happen? How is KUCR a part of this? We're in student media. I mean, they're kind enough to let us use their resources for our radio show every week. So I think we really need to advocate for it, and really need to argue and stand in solidarity with this. I mean, this is something that has been around for what? How long?
Long time, I think.
This is something that, and a lot of people, I mean, Dexter Thomas worked here. Mm-hmm. He won a Pulitzer Prize. He's like the first person to have graduated from UCR to have won a Pulitzer Prize, for example.
Right.
I mean, this just shows you how just how much culture exists here on the campus. I mean, removing KUCR is...
I mean, yeah, they definitely have yet to say what's going to happen to KUCR, but...
It's not on the plans.
Right, it should definitely, be more sensitive to, because...
And they've been planning this for a while.
Right, and there have been...
If it's not on
exactly,
it,
that's true.
You can safely assume...
Right, and there have been millions of dollars that have been poured into KUCR over the years from student fees. Like, a lot of students, like, you know... And this is not even just students. There are people around in the Inland Empire that tune into KUCR and their programming that might not be students, but are getting quality
people just like you listening right now.
Exactly. It could be you. But all of that aside, too, the physical master plan is definitely something that should be paid very close attention to by students, especially given what they want to start with their proposed things. Like, it seems like Wilcox is throwing out a lot of really weird things, like the shopping center was one that I thought was just the weirdest one. Like, how he was saying, you know, wouldn't it be cool if there was a Target right there? It's like,
I think, yeah, it's funny because we were talking about this in the office yesterday, that like as it seems right now with what Wilcox is saying, that it's kind of moving towards this like corporatization of like UCR
in terms of
like adding all these.
He told us, and I mentioned this yesterday, he told us when he met with us that they were going to phase out families.
Yeah.
So it's not
and
like
they're not
like
letting any new families
new
move, in.
Yeah, move in. But
in case any listeners aren't informed, the master plan is Wilcox's like huge, like, what, 10, 20 plus year?
Yeah,
he's like for the next 50 years.
50 years? Okay, to remodel UCR to make it look more aesthetically pleasing, to make it more commuter friendly, more public transportation friendly, and just a lot of different things that he thinks, I guess, will help make UCR more pleasing to potential students and potential businesses.
Right. Yeah. We can only hope that his intention is good.
He wants it to look, you know, appealing to incoming students and things like that. But I think you kind of need to start from the inside. Like, having it look nice is one thing, but it's like, can we make sure, like, students are learning effectively and we have as many professors that we need and, like,
especially given
like
budget cuts that have happened.
Exactly, yeah. So,
yeah, more details will be released by the end of the month.
So, the last topic actually is about you guys, seniors. So, you guys are graduating.
Never mind, let's go back.
This is the end of the line. So, how do you guys feel about it? And what are your plans for after graduation? How do you enjoy college, UCR?
Vincenzo, you answer first.
Yeah.
I'll answer first. College has been fun. It's like every year has been different. And it's great because college really taught me that you can't expect the unexpected, because like every year of college and then even after college, like, you don't know what opportunities are there for you out there. I'm gonna miss the Highlander. I've been here since the beginning of my freshman year, but yeah.
Who wants to go next?
So you're teaching. You're teaching.
You're going to Japan.
I'm
going to
be leaving America.
Woo!
Teaching on the JET program for a year.
Yeah,
it'll be fun.
Kind of be a good teacher, Vincent.
I hope so.
Yes. What about you, Cody?
Man, where do I even start? Like, college has been definitely the transformative experience that everyone says it is. And like Vincent, every year was different for me. Met great friends. Learned a lot in college, not necessarily from classes, because I probably, if I count up the amount of classes that I skipped throughout college, it might be too much, but
amount to a year?
It might honestly amount to an entire year.
Education is important, by the way.
But I think that much of what I learned came from the experiences that I've had with friends and the different internships that I've had, more so than classes, because not to make this like a little rant on the UC educational system, but I didn't learn too much from like a lot of the theory-based teachings that occurred throughout like a lot of my business classes, especially talking to a lot of like other people who went to like CSUs and stuff, and they're learning all these practical things that are actually being applied like in the workforce today. But anyways, back to college. It was just an amazing experience. I really wish I could have like another year and like just to like kind of mess around and hang out more. But I'm ready to move on. At the same time, I'm going on a like month-long extravaganza in Europe after I graduate.
Nice.
And then I'm gonna start working down in Fullerton after that, and then we'll
Congrats.
See where life takes me from there. Thank you.
Yeah, cool.
Aaron?
I don't know, like Vincent said, every year has been extremely different. I've met a lot of cool people, including at the Highlander. I think I kind of am in the middle where with what Cody said. I mean, I took a lot of interesting classes and I learned a lot of things. But I've also, in regards to my writing, I think definitely writing for the Highlander has benefited it the most. I mean, I've definitely cut down a lot of the fat from my writing, a lot of the unnecessary things. I'm a lot more concise with it. Every time I see a mistake, I'm a lot better at proofreading now. For example, I know how to format my papers better. So I think a lot of the skills I learned here, I learned how to communicate a lot better with different people on campus, and I think the skills I have learned at the Highlander have definitely benefited me.
So join the Highlander if you're listening.
But
yes,
that wasn't actually
right
like
now
a shameless plug for it, but
this whole show is a shameless plug for the Highlander.
That's true. But switching up, I mean, it's definitely what you make it. I think not everyone enjoyed the college experience, and that's kind of sad because they didn't take full advantage of what they wanted to do, but I've taken advantage of what I could while I was here. I mean, I've gone to the concerts, And even if you don't like the concerts, there are other things to do. I've applied for different jobs, different types of experiences, and saw what I like, what I didn't like, and I stuck with the one I liked and got the furthest I could in it. And it was a really cool experience. I met like awesome people here. Like this inside this room, you have like a lot of, I mean, people I consider like really good friends in it, for example. So as for the future, I mean, I've been applying for jobs around Riverside, just at different grant writing places and English tutoring places. So I'll see where I can go from that. Hopefully I get a callback for it. So
you will.
Good luck.
That's awesome.
Yeah. UCR has been a crazy experience. I'm just going to echo some of the things you guys had said. I met a lot of cool people. One of the biggest things, though, that I really appreciate about this school is that it helped me really understand my place in the world and my place in history. I think growing up as a Mexican-American, you can easily, or just any kind of minority, your history is kind of erased from public education. And if I didn't come here, I don't think I would have had such an awakening, or I would have the awakening that I did about my identity and about my people and the place that I come from. And it really is saddening that higher education is getting a lot harder to get into, and it's the prices are rising, tuition is going to slowly rise as well. But yeah, I thank UCR for that, and just, you know, all the people that I met. I made a lot of mistakes, but I learned from them as well, and I hope to keep making mistakes in the future. So thank you, UCR, and everyone inside of it.
Do you guys have any advice for upcoming fourth years, or anyone just entering college, or just anyone in college right now?
I would say do as much as you can, really. Get out of your comfort zone. It sounds really cliche, but seriously, get outside of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Do something that you wouldn't usually do, because you won't have many chances to do that once you leave college. And I forgot to do this earlier, but one final special shout out to the Highlander. I've been here since like the second week of my freshman year, and it's been a completely like amazing experience. I've discovered so much about myself here, starting off as like a contributing writer, which felt like yesterday, coming up to where I am today. Like I've, even when I found out like that I didn't want to do journalism halfway into being at the Highlander, I still stuck with it because it gave me a platform to like still be able to grow myself professionally, be around great people and do some really cool stuff, that I probably will never be able to get to do again in my life. Like have a couch in my office and be able to go to sleep in the middle of the day.
Yeah. It's never too late to go to office hours. I love office hours. They're so helpful. Like sometimes they even like get you like research jobs or like, and so people are always really scared to go to office hours, and I've learned to like suck
I'm up. One of them, so I'm gonna listen to you and start going to office hours.
That actually happens in the humanities too. I got offered some stuff.
Yeah, so it's really possible.
Yeah, I think, yeah, what everyone has said as well, get involved, please. I was very hesitant to come to the Highlander because I was scared, and I thought everyone was like super like, I don't know, everyone was like way, way super advanced ahead of me. But yeah, I think you should get involved as much as you can. Go out there, get out of your comfort zone, like Cody said, and listen to the cliche things, even though they've been said over and over again.
They're cliches for a reason.
Exactly. Use your critical eye to, you know, to throw away the ones you don't need and to cull and keep the ones that you do. So, yeah.
One last thing. To expand on what I said and to kind of echo what everyone else mentioned, it's never too late to try anything. Like, no matter, I guess that's what I was trying to say with office hours. It's never too late to go to office hours, to join new orgs, to make new friends, to put yourself out there. Like, it might seem like, oh, it's the end of the quarter, there's no point in joining a club, it's my senior year, there's no point in doing anything else, but, you know, any time is a great time to try something new.
Yes.
You never know when opportunity knocks.
Very good advice. I'm going to miss you guys. It's been cool having you guys at the paper. So.
It's going to be crazy not going to prod and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I know you guys are going to do great, so yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing what all of you guys do.
I wonder
do
how
in
your
future.
First Sunday is going to be.
What do you mean?
Like the first Sunday you don't have to show up to prod.
Oh my god.
For both
it'll
of you.
It'll be
the first Sunday where there is prod and I don't have to be there.
Yeah.
It'll be
interesting.
Yeah. But
yeah, you
it'll also feel very good at the same time.
Sleep in.
I'll be sleeping at 10 p.m. in honor of not being at prod.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, this has been the Highlander Newsroom on KUCR 88.3 FM. The Newsroom is a co-production of the Highlander Newspaper and KUCR. The opinions expressed on today's show belong solely to their owners and do not represent KUCR, the Highlander, or the Associated Students. Special thanks to Louis Vandenberg, Monica Taylor, Eddie Valencia, Elliot Fong, Tina Bolt, and Alex Hill. It's week 7, so finals are coming up, so be studying, get on top of it. And yeah.
Listen to KUCR at all times. Listen to my show tomorrow from 1:30 to 3. Listen to Quitapenas and listen to your mothers. Please.
Yeah.
Shout out to Robert Lees, Jessica Baker, Vicky Nguyen,
Cameron Young.
Yeah, definitely Cameron. Well, Cameron, thanks to Vincent, Cody, and Joseph, most of all, for being my homie for these past, I don't forget how many years, but like, you the bomb.
You're very welcome.
You're welcome.
I guess my final words are yes to love, yes to life, yes to staying in more. Goodbye, everyone.
Woo! That was good.
Peace out, Highlander. Peace out, UCR. Special shout out to all the great friends that I made here. You all know who you are. Love you all. Love the Highlander. Goodbye.
Aww. All right. Thank you guys for listening.